At the conclusion of the Days of Unleavened Bread, we could reflect back on what we learned from our physical experiences over the past 7 days. God is teaching us spiritual lessons through this feast with the putting away of leavening and the putting in of unleavened bread. Over the past week, when we were at our jobs, running errands, grocery shopping, or any other regular part of this life, we were continually evaluating things. We were checking ingredients, thinking twice about what we buy, consume, or bring into our homes. The world around us that we have to venture out into has not put away leaven, just as it has not put away sin. But we were called out of this world and on a journey of ridding our lives of sin, just as we have rid our lives of leaven for the past week. That all said, if we have had a close call or have failed in some way concerning leavening in this or in a previous year, it likely isn't because we just couldn't wait anymore for leavening. It more likely would happen in one of the following ways, and there are spiritual lessons for us to reflect on from these lessons of the Days of Unleavened Bread. So I'm going to be highlighting three different potential routes for sin to, or leaven to enter into our lives during the Days of Unleavened Bread, either directly or via temptation or in some form or fashion. Now, of each of these types, each of these examples, there are spiritual applications that we should carry with us, spiritual lessons that we should carry with us at all times as we depart the Days of Unleavened Bread and continue through the next year. So, number one, I'm going to give examples in each of these, but let's say in the first example, I'm just going to classify it as letting your guard down. So as we've lived and gone about our business over the past 7 days, whether it be at work, it could again be just in town or visiting a neighbor or something along those lines, there could be a scenario that pops up where you may walk in and there's something, a snack or something on the table, or you're offered something, and without much thought, you take it in. It could be some form of leavening or something along those lines. So that's obviously something that we need to continually be on guard for. So again, the first example and the first scenario would be letting your guard down. So let's go to 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. And again, in each of these, I'm going to maybe give an example, but then also read a verse that can help us keep in mind what we have to keep our focus on. So 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Again, so those opening words of verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. We need to be on guard. We need to watch these things. And that is something that I had mentioned, that we're checking things, we're evaluating things, we're looking probably more closely at the ingredients on a package if we're shopping and going to pick something up, and just double checking that things don't have any baking soda, any yeast, anything that is a leavening product. And we're extra on guard against it because we don't want to slip up. We don't want to make a mistake. So we don't want to let our guard down, and we need to carry that lesson with us as we proceed in our lives spiritually. We need to continually check the ingredients of life and make sure, again, that we don't let our guard down, don't slip up, because Satan is out there as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And this is something, as it mentions in verse 9, that we're sharing with all of God's people across the world, whether we know them or not, whether we fellowship with them or not. We have this group of called out ones that are tied together in spirit by God's calling and by the spirit that he's placed in us at baptism, that we're suffering through these same things. So we must, again, pray for one another. We must continually be sober, be vigilant, and be on guard against letting our guard down, because that is definitely a path in for leavening during the days of unleavened bread, but for ourselves, each of ourselves spiritually, throughout the year as we continue on this journey within our calling. So that was the first one. Second, the next example, it seems as though as you discuss the days of unleavened bread and stories people might have, that one thing that pops up regularly is leaven seems to show up in very mysterious ways. There's lots of stories about that. One of the ones that we recall is just a few years ago that out of the blue, in the middle of the days of unleavened bread, we receive a package from some family friends, well, some family, and in that package contained leavening, it contained cookies. And again, it got delivered to our door. There's 52 weeks in a year, and right in the middle of this one week where we should not have that anywhere on our premises, anywhere in our quarters, as it's commanded to us. Leaven is not to be found in any of our quarters or any of the areas we're responsible for. And here it is. It came right through the mail, unexpectedly, from a family or a member or a friend. And so we had to respond to that quickly, because we don't want that there. We don't want to have that with us. We're commanded not to. So we need to respond quickly and get rid of it. So that's just an example, one of many examples that I'm sure all of us have had, where it tends to find its way in. Again, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's something along those lines. We're going to stay in Peter, but we're going to go over to 2 Peter, chapter 3, and verses 17 and 18. 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Again, I mentioned in the opening that leaven is all around us. Of course, the world hasn't been given knowledge of these days, hasn't been called now. So it's something, though, that we live within and is all around us. So we can expect that those sorts of entry points for leaven will continue so long as the world around us is not adhering to God's commands, is not keeping his holy days, is not acting according to the commands that he's given and the holy days that he's given. So again, we need to beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked. That's the spiritual application as we go forward. There's all sorts of sin about, whether it be through peer pressure, in trying to appease somebody else, in following a poor example, or anyway, any of those potential options. Sin continually is present in the world around us, and the people that we interact with, again, whether it be at work, whether it be within uncalled family members. And it's something that we must be on guard for. We must, as it says here, beware that we do not get led away with those around us, those of the world. Instead, verse 18, We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the, again, that's the second area that we need to be on guard for, is leaven during the days of unleavened bread. First point again was it could come by us just letting our guard down in our day-to-day lives. Number two, it could be something that, again, shows up in our life from an unexpected source. And just it just arrives. Third, the I think we've all had situations where you, maybe it's reflect back. Maybe you're de-leavening and you see something, and you find something, and you didn't know it was there. You knew, you recall it being there. Maybe it's been in your home for years, but you didn't catch that it was leavened. You didn't catch maybe the ingredients in it. You didn't process that it was what it was, and it just sat there, maybe again for years, unknowingly hidden. One of the there's just so many different spots where a leavened product could be, or leavening could be in something you had no idea. Just a few weeks ago, we had ordered a air filter for our vehicle. And it came, again, this was just a week or two before the days of unleavened bread. And right on the front label, it says contains baking soda, I suppose as an absorbent or something for the to keep the air fresh. But it was something we immediately had to get it out. We couldn't keep that. We didn't want to install it in our vehicle. So it's something where the sources of leavening are planted in places you don't expect. Well, let's turn to a pair of Psalms. You can also note Leviticus 5, verses 17 and 18. There was actually a sacrifice, an offering that was to be made for a sin you weren't aware that you had committed. And that's what it may be here. It may be items that you're like, years later, oh, I had that in my home and I didn't fully de-leaven it. Or I've been eating that for years and I had no idea. Psalm 19, verse 12. Psalms 19 and verse 12. I'm not sure you're going to go to a pair of Psalms, but the first one is Psalm 19, verse 12. Says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. So this is something we could pray about. There are things that we're doing in our lives that we may not even be aware of. Just as we could be consuming something that has that is leavened and not know about it, or we might keep it in our home and not know about it for years. Well, this is something that we should pray to God about, because spiritually it could be the same thing. We may have secret faults that we're not even aware are there. We may be causing offenses. We may be violating in some form or fashion one of God's commandments. So we must keep that in mind. And the second psalm is Psalm 119, verse 11. And just this, so reference that we may have those secret faults in us. We may have those unknown sins. Well, instead, something that we can seek from God, 119 and verse 11. And this is the effort that we must put in it. There, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So we must continue through Bible study, prayer, daily, regular fasting, seeking God's word, seeking that understanding, and hiding his word in our heart. And the more we grow in the knowledge of God's word, the more we grow in the application of God's word in the form of character growth, the less we'll sin against him. So those are really the three lessons that I wanted to highlight. And maybe there's some more that you would mention of different potential paths and lessons that we could derive from the days of unleavened bread. So let us strive to not let our guard down. Let us continue to strive to separate ourselves from the world, as we know the sinful ways are going to continue to be there in this age and continue to be around us, and we want to keep ourselves separate. And finally, let's continually lean on God, study His Word, and seek to have Him place it inside of us, just as we are to consume the unleavened bread that symbolizes His Word, His commandments, and His righteousness coming into us, that we may be forgiven the hidden sins, and that we may continually seek God first. And in doing this, we could ensure that the lessons we learned during this Days of Unleavened Bread, as well as the previous ones, could continue with us throughout the year as we continue to seek God's Word, seek God's way, and qualify for His kingdom.